give God a praise this morning. As we continue to sing, behold our God. Get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. And you'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? Trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. He saw it
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Luke 2, verse 17, we read, when they had seen him, they spread the word about this child. Let's spread the word by singing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Christ is born down nation blessed at Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's continue by singing, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Singing Revive Us Again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Man, you guys are asleep just like the teens this morning. Good morning. Yes. Well, welcome to Assurance Baptist Church this morning. We'd like to welcome our first-time visitors. If you could, just raise your hand. We got a gift for you. Just raise your hand. While they're handing out the gifts, if we could just keep Betty Robbins in our prayers. She's at Miami North Hospital. And then also for old Kitty Saunders, our brother's funeral today. So just keep them up in your prayer. And then one of our youth kids are at Children's Hospital this morning getting some stuff done. So keep Jake Erickson in your prayers as well. But let's pray and we'll get ready for service, all right? Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house. Lord, we just want to lift up Betty. And Lord, that you just help her and just guide the doctors. Lord, that you just comfort her. Lord, just be with Kitty and Lord, just the family. And Lord, as well, just put your arms around them. Lord, that you just be with the family. Lord, and, Lord, just be with Jake and Lord, just what's going on there. And that you'd guide the doctors, give them the answers that they need. Be with the services this morning, that you'd be with preacher and you just hide them behind your cross. And Lord, that there's someone in here that says they never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that they will this morning. Lord, just thankful for everyone that's here and keep them safe as they travel home. We love you and pray. Amen.
Built on the rock, strong and secure. Built on the rock, steadfast and sure. When the strong winds blow and the waves rise high, there's water all around, but the house is dry. This house still stands, 'cause it's built on the rock.
I asked a man about his house, if it had been there long. He said it's weathered many storms because I built it strong. I asked him what his secret was, what price he had to pay. I never will forget the words the wise man said that day.
It's built on the rock, strong and secure. Built on the rock, steadfast and sure. When the strong winds blow and the waves rise high, there's water all around, but the house is dry. This house still stands, 'cause it's built on the rock. Built on the rock.
I thanked him for his words so wise, and then I turned to go. He called my name and then he said, there's something you should know. Don't ever be so foolish as to build on sinking sand. If you want to build a house, you know it's going to stand. Make sure
it's built on the rock, strong and secure. Built on the rock, steadfast and sure. When the strong winds blow and the waves rise high, there's water all around, but the house is dry. This house still stands, 'cause it's built on the rock.
Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Yes, he is a rock, my sure foundation. His word and his name are my cornerstone. And I know my house is strong, 'cause it's built on the rock, strong and secure. Built on the rock, steadfast and sure. When the strong winds blow and the waves rise high, there's water all around, but the house is dry. This house will stand, 'cause it's built on the rock. Built on the rock, built on the rock, built on the rock. This house will stand, 'cause it's built on the rock. Built on the rock.
that tells us about how God, in his infinite wisdom, works in this church in a sense. It's a called out congregation, or this assembly that God had called out. Look at it, see in this that Moses has delivered the people from Egypt, that they've come out, God has delivered them using Moses, and as they get to the Red Sea, God uses Moses and brings the people through the Red Sea on dry land. And now we're about 6 weeks past that, and God has fed them, and God has taken care of them, and God's done a lot of things for these folks. And Moses is going up into the mount, and he'll be there 40 days and 40 nights. But while Moses is away, the people begin to play. So today we look at a church on fire as we continue in our sermon series, How Soon We Forget. A church on fire, how soon we forget. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, second book of your Bible, Exodus chapter 32. When you find Exodus 32, shout an amen. Amen. Now you all didn't find it that quick. Don't quit messing. Some of you just turned there on accident. Look, showing me their Bibles. Okay. They got an app or whatever. Okay. If you just showed me your Bible, you're prideful. You didn't have to tell me. I just... No. I know it's going to be a hot one, and I felt like I was preaching. So if you see my beach towel come out, it's just to wipe myself this morning. And so I don't subscribe or prescribe to all the things of T.D. Jakes, but the beach towel thing I do pick up from him. I'm not going to lie. We look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1 this morning. When you find Exodus 32 and verse 1, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's holy word? Exodus 32 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that has brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what he has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people that break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. That, so you know, has a sexual connotation, what they were doing. And I can't make it any more clear, but the people were rising up and literally being an orgy. I just want you to see how disgusting the sin was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people. Look how God says. He says, thy people. That's what God does to me sometimes with assurance. Sometimes he says, go get your people. And you'll see later on, Moses is like, no, wait a minute, God. Those be your people. You know what I mean? It's like when my wife and I, or one of the kids does something, I say, go get your son. You know what I mean? She's like, last time I checked, he's your son too. Today, he's just yours. He said, go. He says, thy people, which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. Just 6 weeks since the Red Sea, quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone. God said, leave me alone. They don't want to do right, just leave me alone. That my wrath might wax hot against them, that I might or may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. He said, Moses, I'm going to get rid of the covenant with Abraham. I'm going to get rid of these Israelites, and I'm going to start over with you. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? That's why I tell God when he says, you know, them ABC people, I say, Lord, they're your people. And you see how Moses turned it back? He said, why are you mad at your people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Moses says, the Egyptians are going to say, you brought them out for no reason that you delivered them. They're going to make fun of your name, God. They're going to call against you and say, you're a God, but you couldn't even keep your people together. God, repent of this thing. Remember Abraham. He says, God, remember your covenant. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Let's pray. Father God, we're asking today for your unparalleled grace, for your tender mercies. And Lord, today, as the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, we know that the word of our God shall stand forever. We ask that you bless it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Number one, I want you to understand a few things, how soon we forget. A church on fire can become forgetful. A church on fire can become forgetful. All the good things that are going on at ABC, I don't want you to forget who's doing them. Amen. It isn't me. Newsflash, it isn't you. Amen. It's God. Amen. Do not become forgetful of who it is that has provided us these great blessings. It's not people. It's not things. It's not money. It is the God of the universe who has given us every blessing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness. Listen, it's all come from God. People say, oh, he's such a good pastor. Oh, they're such good deacons. Oh, they're such good singers. Maybe that's all true, but I know this. None of those things are better than the God which gave you those people. Church on fire can become forgetful. See, they had become forgetful of what was going on. Moses delayed to come down in verse 1. Out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. He'd been gone 40 days. They became forgetful. Just 6 weeks prior, they were praising God at the Red Sea. They were making promises to God. Look at Exodus 14. Exodus 14, the Bible says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Keep going to verse 15 or chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. You see, just 6 weeks prior, the people said, oh, God, there's nobody like you. Oh, God, you're the best thing since sliced bread. They didn't even have sliced bread just yet. He said, oh, God, you are amazing. Oh, God, you are glorious. Oh, God, you are salvation. Oh, God, we praise you. And they sang the song of Moses in Exodus 14. You know what it reminds me of? People get saved or people get excited or people have been going for a little bit and they say, oh, I'm going to go to Sunday school. I'm going to pay tithe. I'm going to go to evening service. God, I'm going to do a little bit better. But how soon we forget. Because forgetfulness comes when things are going well. Everybody's involved. But as soon as something hard come up, as soon as the man of God went away for 40 days, they rebelled. How soon we forget that it's God who has given us all things. Why would we forget God? It makes me think of the man that went to the doctor. And as the man was at the doctor for his annual physical, he said, Doc, I'm feeling pretty good. The doctor said, that's good. All your vitals are good and everything seems well with you. He says, is there any other information that you might want to let me know? And the man says, well, I do have this one problem, Doc. I continue to forget things. I'm forgetting when I should make this call, or forgetting when I should go to this place. I'm forgetting to take my medicine. I'm forgetting to do all these little tasks. I'm forgetting when I should pay my bills. He said, Doc, what should we do about that? The doctor looked at him and said, pay me in advance. Now listen, I just want you to know that sometimes we become forgetful. when all the vitals of the church look good, when everything from the outside and even in the inside looks good, that's when we are at most danger to forget how good God is. When we got the t-shirts and we got the sayings and we got the songs and we got people serving in every ministry, when we got the choir, when we got the musicians, when we got the good things going on, that's exactly when we forget who is the one doing it. Let us not become forgetful. How soon we forget, because you know what happens to a church when they start forgetting? A church on fire can become foolish. Look at verses 2 through 5 back in the text. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This is a fake religion here. This is a Sunday and a Wednesday only religion. What I mean by that is there's some Christians that show up every service, but they're only Christian on Sunday morning and Wednesday, Sunday night, or Wednesday afternoon. They're not always a Christian all day. It's just a fake religion. But as soon as they get on the other side, to Monday, to Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're no longer Christian. They're religious, but they're not really obedient to God. It's a I'm saved, but I don't always act saved kind of attitude. It's a I'm saved, but I don't always look saved kind of attitude. It's a I'm saved, but I don't always sound saved kind of religion. It's a sometimes I feel like a saint, sometimes I don't kind of religion, if you know what I mean. You know the most foolish thing a church on fire does? You know what the most foolish thing a church on fire does is? Follow a man instead of God. Verse 1, they said, Moses the man, he's gone. He said, Moses, the man, he delivered us from Egypt. Listen, no pastor can deliver you from Egypt, from bondage. No deacon, no song leader, no Sunday school teacher, no choir director. No, listen, I just want you to know that you won't make it. Your faith won't make it if your faith isn't a man. It's a foolish thing, but we've got schools of churches whose faith actually in a man, who's in a charismatic leader of the world, but their faith is not in God. But listen, the last time I checked, I know this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. She just sang about the rock, and our foundation is on the rock. It's not on Bryson Thompson. It's not on Deacon Harris. It's not on Deacon Shrove. It's not on Pastor Randy. It's not on Xavier. It's not on anybody else. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, the rock of my salvation. If you follow a man, you will fail. If you follow a man, you will rebel. If you follow a man, you will go back. You will forget the blessings of God. Always follow God and only God, because no man is worth following. The only men worth following are the men that are following God and doing what God tells them to do. There's a faith in Moses. As soon as he leaves, the people are in rebellion, playing, orgy, fashioning gods. And they wanted to bring another man to themselves. The words in the Hebrew, they go to Aaron, but really what it looks like in the Hebrew is that they went to Aaron and threatened him and said, you're going to do this. Now, Aaron, he's like any other backup quarterback. He can only last so long before he starts losing games. So Aaron gets scared, and he just does what the people tell him to do. He's wrong, too. And Aaron fashions these things, but I want you to understand how grievous this sin was, how dirty this sin was. Moses knew it was God that took him out of the Red Sea. Look at Exodus 14. I know it because the Bible says it. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses didn't say, I'll fight for you. Moses didn't say, I'll do something for you. He said, the Lord will do it. Yes. I can't fight for you because I got nothing to fight with. But when I call upon the name of the Lord, when I draw upon his power and to lift my proverbial staff to the air, God will part the Red Seas. Moses knew it was God. But I want you to see how grievous this sin was back there when they take this gold and they fashion a calf. If I had a Bible reader in here today, you would understand what I'm about to say. The gold used to fashion images was the gold God told the Israelites to borrow and take out of Egypt to build the tabernacle of God. They have just taken the gold that was to build the tabernacle of God and turned it into an idol image against God. God has already given the Ten Commandments at this point, and he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Y'all shall have no other graven image. They went right in God's face and said, guess what? We're going to take the gold that was for your tabernacle and build another god in your face. That's how dirty it is. That's how disgusting this is. But listen, Church on Fire, they wanted the tabernacle, but they didn't want the God of the tabernacle. Sometimes people in church want what the church has to offer, but they don't want the God of the church. Sometimes people say, we want the blessings of God in the church, but we don't want to be obedient to God. Reminds me of a family I went and visited one time back in Wilmington. I sat down. Now, I was an assistant pastor. I was probably 2 or 3 years in, but I knew enough, and I went back and reported it to my pastor. But they said, well, we'd like to just sit down and ask you some questions. They set up a meeting. We'd like to interview you and ask you some questions. And their first question was, what does your church have to offer us? Now, I was an assistant pastor at the time. Had I been the pastor, had this happened today, I would have said, ma'am, sir, what do you have to offer the church? Who says we want you? Because I was an assistant, I was much more pragmatic about my approach, and diplomacy kicked in, and I said, well, you know, we have things for different age groups. And they continued on and said, well, what would your church do if I didn't have any money? Would they pay our bills? I mean, they were literally asking me these questions. Now, this was a family that was pretty wealthy that you could tell from their homes and their cars and these things, I'm assuming, or they were in a lot of debt, one of the two. But what I realized on that visit was, church to be subservient to them. They wanted the church to fit their boxes and do what they wanted them to do, but they didn't want to be obedient to God. They never asked, how can we get involved? How could we help spread the gospel? How could we? They just wanted to know what they could get, but they never asked what they could give. Listen to me, we're foolish to believe. Sometimes the longer you sit in church, the more you start thinking the church owes you something. Church on Fire. Listen to me. Listen. The church, not just Assurance Baptist Church, I'm talking about the called out ecclesia, don't owe you a thing. What the church is in the world for is not to meet your physical needs. The church is in the world to meet the spiritual need of the gospel being propagated for all to believe. I'm glad to go visit somebody at the hospital. I'm glad to show up to a funeral visitation. I'm glad to send you a card. Listen, all those things are doing church at a good level, in my opinion. It's a great thing. It's a nice thing. But that's not because I'm the pastor or because of the church. That's out of brotherly love. I got an auto pen. Her name is Nancy. But I still sign all your birthday cards and your anniversary cards. That's not because of the church. That's because I love you and personally care about you and want to do that. I write your address on there. We could put labels or we could type it in. But I do it with my G2 number 7 Pilot pens that you bet not touch. You know what I mean? Now listen. But I do that as a personal touch. But it's not, listen, it's not my major responsibility. My major responsibility is to rightly divide the word of truth, to preach the gospel to every creature, and to make sure that they're discipled, and make sure that they understand what baptism looks like, and make sure that they can go further in a deeper relationship and Christian love and fellowship, and all the other things that come with it is just a blessing from God. You say, well, the pastor, he never comes to my house. He never, listen. If I come to your house on a Tuesday about noon and you don't have anything there for me to eat, we will no longer be friends. You won't like me no more and I won't like you. I'll be hangry And when I get there and you've got nothing, we can't sup together. If you read the Bible, whenever Jesus showed up and the disciples showed up, they had something for him to eat. So when the disciple shows up, I'm not an apostle, but when I show up, when the preacher shows up, if you want me to come over, y'all better start cooking around 12:30. Now, if I put that in y'all's mind good enough, then everybody be cooking around 12:30. All the retired folks, all the folks that work, about 5:30, 6 o'clock. If it's the weekend and you are into breakfast, I mean, listen, I like my hash browns smothered and covered. And so if that's something you're into, about 9:30. I don't like the morning. I don't get up too early. If you think that's too late, that's just who I am. But listen, I can't make it everywhere. I can't be everywhere at one time. That's God. He's the one that's omnipresent, not me. But I know this. We become foolish because we start obeying the wrong thing. We start obeying these images. These images. Don't you ever get in your mind that there's a man that's perfect. Don't you ever get in your mind, I failed you, I'll fail you again. Never get in your mind that I can't fail you, that I can't make a mistake, because I certainly make a lot of those. But I want you to understand this. But you ain't supposed to be looking at me anyway. You're supposed to be looking right past me at the God that I serve. And when you do that, you won't be foolish, and our church won't be foolish. Our church, if, listen, oh, this is good. I like this. Now some of y'all are going to start getting squirmy in your seat, but that's going to be okay. If you, not everybody likes church. Not everybody that comes to church likes church. If you really came to worship, you better be careful who you sit by. If you really came to be in church, you better be careful who you sit by. Because some people want to be on their phone, and some people want to talk and chitter-chattery, and they're not listening. And if you can't listen to the leader when he's preaching, then you got a pride problem. Listen to me. If my kids acted like some of y'all act while I'm preaching, when I was telling them to do something, I would say, listen to me. I get real abrasive about it. But some of y'all come in here, and some of y'all are mature Christians, and you talking to church. Listen to me. If you really want to get something, watch who you sit by. If you really want to get in, pray. Because, see, they had to watch who they were sitting by. These Israelites rose up. The people gathered themselves together under Aaron. The indication is that it was probably the tribal leaders, the elders. They, even the people that were supposed to be spiritually mature, they rose up on Aaron and said, make us some gods. And then they had the audacity and blasphemy to say, these be the gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And they watched as the people rose up to play an orgy. And they watched as the people did these nasty, depraved things with these molten calves. And all I'm saying to you is a church on fire can become foolish, because when you think you become wise in your own conceits, really you become foolish before God. I'll tell you what, this morning, I don't even understand all of it. Because I just understand my Bible to a certain level, and I'm still reading, and God's still working on me. But I can't imagine. This is supposed to be a church on fire. They have just crossed the Red Sea in dryness. They've just been given the Ten Commandments. God said, I'm going to give you 10 things. These are the things you're supposed to be doing. Exodus 20, if you don't know. He said, here's exactly what you're supposed to do. We didn't even make it 6 weeks. Oh, boy. Some of y'all, if I said, well, you know what? We've got this program or this class, and we need you to, can I just be, I don't want to be the Holy Spirit because I'm not. I want the Holy Spirit to preach for me. But can the Holy Spirit work through me for a minute as the pastor? Oh, we got Grow. Everybody and their mama there the first couple weeks. They said, Pastor, why are we not doing so many big neighborhoods? I said, because by week 3 or 4, the 50 will turn to 20. The 20 will sometimes turn to 10. Now, praise be to God, our growth numbers stayed pretty high the whole time, so I'm not complaining. But here's what I'm saying. It's easy to get on fire for something right at the beginning, but it's hard to stay on fire for it. It's hard to stay consistent. That's why they wrote them songs. You've lost that love and feeling. That's why, because he said, we used to be really in love. We was on fire. And now, you don't even close your eyes no more when we kiss or you don't know tenderness in them fingertips and all that. We writing these sad songs because it ain't the way it used to be. Come on now. That's what happened. You want me to modernize it for you, Brother Ray? I should have bought you flowers and held your hands. My beloved Hannah Montana, she came back and said, I can buy my own flowers. You know what the problem is? They got a self-esteem problem. They say, those people hurt my self-esteem. How can somebody hurt your self-esteem? It's what you think about yourself. People say, well, they've ruined my self-esteem. Can't nobody ruin your self-esteem. It's your self-esteem. Oh, it's like, I should have got my soapbox out. It has nothing to do with nothing else. But listen, it's easy to get on fire for something and stay on fire for a couple weeks, a couple days. It's easy. Y'all ever got onto something where you was going to do it? You was going to do it every day. At 5:30, I'm going to get up and begin running at 5:30 in the morning. I've set my alarm. I've got my app. It's going to count my steps and tell me what my heart rate is. And it's going to have indicators all through it. And I'm going to do this. And when I begin this, I'm going to do this. And probably 6 months down the road, I will be the slimmest, trimmest me. So we're going to start on Monday. Monday came. Now, some of y'all, Monday came, y'all hit snooze. You never even made it to Monday. Some of y'all said, that was going off. He said, we start tomorrow. Some of y'all are them tomorrow dieters. You know what I'm talking about? I'll start tomorrow. He said, well, what happened? Well, we had a lot going on, so I'll start next week. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, y'all the same one that got bills in y'all mama name. But listen, I just want you to know, some of y'all, you started on Monday. You said, oh, we got Monday. We got Tuesday. You was running them little miles. And then got the audacity looking at yourself in the mirror like you done lost weight in 2 days. You ain't lost no weight in 2 days. That's sweat. That's water weight. You ain't lost no real fat. Just keep on running. You say, we're going to up it. Now, you got a week in. You say, I feel good. Then you got 2 weeks in. You say, oh, snap. I'm feeling good. I'm about to do 3 weeks. You get to 3 weeks, and, you know, you get to 4 weeks. Now, they say that a habit comes in about 3 weeks, but you know what I know this happens? People do this all the time. My son Xavier, he gets frustrated by it because he likes to go to the gym. And at the beginning of the year, everybody and their mom is at the gym. He can't get on no equipment. And then by March, Xavier's like, well, it'll be free again. Every piece of equipment's available because ain't nobody in here no more. You know what I know happened? People was on fire for it. Some of y'all do it big, too. Some of y'all be spending y'all's little pennies on it. For Christmas, what I want y'all to give me is some workout gear. Because first of the year, I'm going to start working out. Some of y'all still got treadmills, got clothes on it. Some of y'all got Peloton. It ain't got nothing on. They got boxes on there from Amazon. And you say, well, what's in these Amazon boxes? Workout gear. you ain't even opened it. Some of y'all have been looking. Yes, sir, you know, I'm going to get a Nordic Track. I'm gonna get that Chuck Norris special. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to be working out with that, and I'm going to look like Chuck Norris when I do this. And you ain't lifted two weights on it. But you was going to do it. You was on fire for it. Church, listen to me. Sometimes we get on fire. We have a big day. We have people baptized. We slap our hands and we stomp our feet. Some people walk the aisles, get saved. Some good preaching goes on. Not just me, but the junior church, VBS happens, and we survive, praise God. And a camp come back from camp, and the kids are on fire, and they're singing hallelujahs and preaching and praise be to God, and everybody's here, got their little T-shirts on, and everybody's feeling good. And it lasts for about 6 weeks, and then we go right back, and we rebel against God because we're just like this church in the wilderness, really. A church on fire can become forgetful and become foolish, but I want you to understand this, but a church on fire can still be forgiven. Look at verse 14. After all that blasphemy, after all that rebellion, after all that rank sin and adulterous fornication, God, at Moses' behest, repents. And the Lord repented. It means he changed his mind. He turned away. Now, God doesn't change his mind like you and I. But I want you to know Moses, when Moses talked to him, that means he prayed. God still can move or be moved by prayer. Someone asked me, Pastor, do you really believe in the power of prayer? Well, Nancy can attest to this. The prayer list sits on my desk, and every day I take a look at that prayer list, go through it. We wouldn't have a prayer list if I didn't believe in the power of prayer. I wouldn't say, text me your prayer request. I wouldn't say, Even when I go to Sycamore Creek, the Bible study down there, I put those requests in, and I don't always put them on the prayer requests because you wouldn't know who some of them are, but they're in my prayer requests, and I pray over those. Do you realize that when Moses is talking to God and asking God to repent of it, Moses is praying. He's communicating with God. There's still power. There's still power in prayer. And because of that, we have to understand when he says this, he says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people, that we, after all this rebellion, after all this blasphemy, after all of this, God forgives. Listen to me, church. This isn't a beat you up kind of message. It's an understand to not be forgetful. It's an understand to not be foolish. But when you are forgetful, when you are foolish, that God will still forgive you. If I took a poll today, I'm not going to, of who in here would like to be more like God, I would assume and pray that everyone would say that, but I would at least expect that the majority of you would say, I want to be like more like God. Well, being forgetful is not like God because God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget anything except for our sins, praise be to God. Amen. Foolishness. Nobody would say, I want to be foolish like God because God's not foolish. The only thing foolish about God is the preaching of the cross because it's foolishness to them which perish, but unto us which are saved is the power of God unto salvation. But God is forgiving. If I wanted to be more like God, what would I need to do? I would need to become more forgiving. Forgiveness is wrapped up in love, but I believe that the church, not just our church, but the people of God, that our number one failure when we become a church on fire is you get to a point where you say, you know what? There's enough people in the world love me. If a couple people don't like me, so what? You know what? If this bad happens or we get into this spat or that, I don't need to forgive because I can sit by such and such instead. Do you realize that God said, I want to do away with Abraham and Isaac and Israel? I want to do away with that whole testimony. The whole book of Genesis, I'm going to render it null and void, Moses, and I'm going to start over with you. What he said. I'm not making it up. Go back, read your Bible. He said, I'm completely done. There's no such thing as Abraham on Mount Moriah with Isaac. There's no such thing as Isaac and having his sons. There's no such thing as Jacob. There's no such thing as Joseph in his coat of many colors. There's no such thing as the tribes of Israel. He says, I'm going to do it all away with it. We're never going to hear about it. Guess who wrote those books? Moses. And so he says, Moses, we're going to put all that away and I'm starting over with you. Moses had the opportunity to go, me, Lord? Watch. Practical. Moses could have said, you know what? These are some stiff-necked and rebellious people. They ain't gave me nothing but trouble since we got out here. I got 2 million people. It's supposed to take us 2 weeks, and it's going to take us 40 years to get where we're supposed to go. It's only about a 90-mile trip to where we're supposed to be going, if you know your Bible. And Moses could have said, you know what, God? I was 40 years old when you called me. I'm an old man out here in these streets, God. I'm going to be walking. If Moses could have foresaw, I'm going to be 80 years old. I got to walk with these people who are 40 years old. Had Moses had it to do over again, I wonder if Moses would have been like, you know what, God, go ahead and get rid of them boys. Because we haven't even got to the part where I'm really furious with them and we about to start smiting rocks and we haven't even got to the part where they mess up my opportunity to go into the promise. You know what, God, go ahead and get them. Go ahead. But you know what? Moses is better than us. Because sometimes you in your Christian life, you'd be like, you know what, God, I don't care about them people. Go ahead and get them. You refuse to forgive. You're like, go ahead and get them. But Moses said, Moses could have been the Abraham. We wouldn't have been singing Father Abraham. We'd have been singing Father Moses. That's what God promised him. He said, I'll do away with that covenant. I'm going to give you, I'm starting with you, Moses. Now listen. Hear me. But I want to show you something today. I want to teach you something today. If you didn't know this, you know, Moses, he said, God, no. That's out of your character, God. That's not even who you are, even though it's righteous indignation. God, you better than that. You brought us out here. I still believe in you, God. And guess what, God? They're your people, and you love them, and I'm willing to lead them still. Don't start over me. Forgive them, God. And the God of the universe forgave them. Now, he punished them. He said, go ahead and take that gold down there, Moses, and grind it up and make them drink it. I don't know about drinking gold. That don't sound right. But you know why he did that? Because a sheep is a herd animal. Sheep are, that's why they call them sheepish. They're full of anxiety. A sheep, a lamb has really no way of defending itself. If a predator comes upon a lamb, it's pretty much just easy pickings. Sheep really can't protect itself. The only protection a sheep really has is when it's flocked up with the other sheep. Because enough sheep together look strong enough to keep predators away. But did you know this? In the Bible, in Genesis 3:15, the Bible talks about how the seed of the woman, it's the first prophecy of the virgin birth, the seed of the woman, which is Jesus, will be bruised on the heel by the serpent. But the serpent will have his head crushed by the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ. Did you know that a pit viper's venom has no effect on a lamb, on a sheep? That if a rattlesnake bites a sheep, it might get a little swollen, it might get hurt, but it won't kill him. Because inside of a lamb's DNA or a sheep's DNA is an anti-venom that as soon as that venom is injected, that the anti-venom starts to overcome. Now, this is real, biological. And that they use the sheep's blood as anti-venom for many pit vipers. So what I'm saying is, even when the snakes in the grass come in and bite a sheep in a flock, the blood of the lamb prevails. That the blood of Jesus Christ is in you who are saved. And because of this, the serpents, the vipers of the world, the poisonous adders of the world cannot hurt you at a fatal level. It can cause a little stumble. It can cause a little swelling, but it cannot kill you because you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. God said, Moses said, God, forgive them. If we can just stay together, if we can just keep these people together, I know we're stronger together because we can rally together and we can walk with 2 million people. It's going to take a long time for them to try to slaughter us. But Lord, even if they came after us, I know that you can fix it because Moses wasn't looking at the blood of the Lamb, but he knew who God was. And all I'm saying is, if we look at it, we know that the blood of the Lamb will prevail. This morning, a church on fire, we can become so forgetful. We can get out in front of ourselves. We can get to thinking, you know what? This is pretty good. We're doing a pretty good job. Oh, we got visitors and new people joining the church and everything looks good. We can become forgetful of who's doing it. It isn't any programs we have. Hey, listen, we use programs, but Grow never brought anybody to church that God didn't want here. The youth group is growing, but it didn't grow because Brother Brandon's so great. It's because the God that he serves is so great. Amen. The baptistry waters have been filled and people being baptized, not because of my great preaching, because of our great God. Amen. We have so many blessings, but how soon we forget. Because as soon as something goes wrong, we become like these children of Israel. Well, didn't happen my way today. Moses has been gone 40 days, so guess what? I seen you popping your neck. I'm about to do it. We're not about to go to that. I'm not about to go to the ladies' meeting because last time it was boring. And we're not. Nah, we're not about to go to men's prayer. Pastor can't cook. We do all these different things. We have all this goodness go on, but this is people cynical. But the one wrong thing we pick out. 40 days ain't nothing. You really start thinking about 40 days. That's a month and 10 days in our lunar calendar. It really isn't that long. And if the people of Israel would have looked at themselves, they'd be like, you know, Moses probably needed a break from us. We've been wearing him out. He's on sabbatical. That was the first ever sabbatical in the Bible. Moses said, I got to get away from these people. Got to get alone with God. Let me go up here in this mountain. Lord, let's talk for a minute, because, and then the Lord said, you know what's going on down there? What's going on down there? They're acting a fool, Moses. Moses was like, well, wait a minute. Joshua was like, sounds like the sound of war. Moses was like, nah, God already told me they're down there acting a fool. They're down there doing the stanky leg and everything else. Yeah, that's what they was doing. Y'all say, what, Pastor, what's Pastor talking about? Not all of y'all been in the club, and that's good. But for some of y'all that have, if you know me like I knew me when I was a young guy, some of y'all that's out there, you know, Superman, all that, doing all that stuff. You know, they was out there doing the electric slide and all that. I mean, they was acting a fool down there in the valley. And Moses said, nah, Joshua, they're not at war. They're acting a fool. They're in sin. They're in rebellion. And my brother, supposed to be my brother. Imagine the conversation with Aaron and Moses in the tent. For real? I always joke when I preach this, not this message, but something like this at preacher's meetings. That's what it's like, man, when you come down the hill, when you come back from vacation to assistant pastors, you'd be like, for real? For real. I go away for 1 week, and this is what y'all allow happen over here? I remember Pastor McInerney going away, and we'd be like, dang it. Like, I didn't like when he went away, because I knew when he came back, he was going to find something that we did wrong. You know me, I told you, I'm a snitch. I'll tell who did it. I was like, it was Josh Dixon. It wasn't me. They said, who did it? I said, Aaron Fawcett. Preacher, it wasn't me. I'm a snitch. I'll tell you exactly them. We become forgetful. But then we become so foolish. We think we got it all going on, don't we? Become so foolish. Young men, you listen to me, and old men too. That's how men lose their wife. They done got so forgetful. Every once in a while, tell her how good she looked. They done got so forgetful, and every once in a while, take her on a little date. And it took her for granted, and you became foolish. And now, I don't care who gets mad at this. I tell my young guys when I'm doing premarital counseling, don't you be up on them video games when you're married, when you're newly married 2-3 in the morning. Now, there's young kids in here, but I'm saying, I could think of better things to do with my new wife than be on video games with some teenagers. Now, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I got 4 kids. You do the math. I'm just telling y'all. It's all biblical. It's all holy. I tell the young guys, look, you want the video game? I don't understand it. I mean, I'm from the video game generation. I'm not too old I still dibble and dabble with Madden every once in a while or something like that. But 2-3 in the morning, when my young wife's laying up in bed, we ain't got no kids. I'm just saying. Another soapbox moment. This has been brought to you by the letters B and T. Now listen, I want you to... Don't get foolish. That's how you lose somebody that you love. You start taking for granted. They took God for granted. They said, Moses is the one brought us. That's what they said in verse 1. It's so disgusting. They said, the man Moses brought us up out of Egypt. But Moses told them back in Exodus 14, the Lord shall fight for you. And they said in chapter 15, God, we love you. We sing your praises. You brought us out of here. They affirmed what Moses said, that the Lord had did it. And then just 6 weeks later, they're like, you know what? Moses one brought us out of here. Now we think he's dead, so we're just going to go down there. We're going to do what we want to do. They say, oh, you want to go down there to the Chattahoochee? Yeah, boy, we're going down there and going to do a little boot scooting buggy. Watermelon crawl. They down there, so all you country fans get a little something for yourself. They said, we're going to go down there and just, you know what? Who cares? Let's go down there and do what we got to do. And they was down there, you know. I mean, that's what they was doing. Y'all, see, I got to make it real for you. I got to put the imagery for real for you, because sometimes when we preach the Bible, it just seems like it's so spiritual, and it is, but when we make it practical and it starts hitting you in the head a little bit and you start being like, yeah, I did do the stanky leg a few times, it starts making sense to you a little bit more. You're like, yeah, that was me. I did crank that soldier a couple times. I mean, become foolish, man. You become foolish. And then you know what? If you've been forgetful, you've been foolish, never forget that you can still be forgiven. Amen. The Church on Fire goes back to the well of forgiveness, to the mercy well, to the grace of God, the wellspring every single day. We're about to come to that part of the service where we preach the gospel. And you know what I tell our discipleship class, and I tell you this, and I want you to hear me really, really clearly today. If you need to go to the restroom, go now. Because watch this. If you need to move your key... Invitation is not time for you to start putting your keys in your pocket. Invitation is not time for you to start figuring out where we're going to go to lunch. Invitation is not time for you to start bumping your friend and say, hey, what do you want to do after service? Invitation is not time for you to start trying to find where your purse is at or get your Bible notes together. Invitation is time for you to sit still, be quiet, and listen to God. Because here's what you need to know. Here's the mercy well. When we preach the invitation, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to remember, not become forgetful, that in that gospel message, even though you're already saved, you don't forget. Because the more you hear the gospel, the more you remember, you know what, God? I don't deserve that. And the less you'll forget, if you'll listen to the invitation, the less you'll go, you know what, I did some things this week. I didn't sound like I was saved this week when I was cussing at work. Oh, yeah, sometimes there's cussing Baptists. We ain't them. But listen, some of them are. Oh, it wasn't me this week, Lord. I this week when I was drinking that liquor, when I was taking a snort. It wasn't me this week when I was being mean to my wife or my kids or... wasn't being saved this week when I got an attitude with the person at Burger King because she forgot my nugget sauce. It was somebody when I said something nasty, when I had a bad thought, when I was backstabbing and gossiping about somebody. Oh, Lord, I wasn't saved when I was like, oh, no. You need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's what made your sin be forgiven. Amen. So you listen. And the second part of that is listen. Now, I'll be a little critical. There's white balls back there, and I ain't had a whole bunch of people running up to me in 2023 talking about I led somebody to Christ this year. Some of y'all, you ain't paying attention to the invitation. You act like you know how to do it, then go do it. You act like you know how to win somebody to Christ. When I'm preaching invitation, what it is an opportunity for you to learn how to win your coworker to the Lord. For you to understand, oh, you got to tell them that they got to understand they're a sinner. For you to understand that you got to understand to tell them that they got somebody that loves them named Jesus Christ, that somebody died for them and paid for their sin. See, this is an opportunity. You say, well, Pastor, you do it every single week. Do you know the invitation is bled in my mind, imprinted in my mind, and it's deep down in my heart? Because every pastor that I've ever been around or had, they say similar things. And so I can just rattle off the invitation without really even any work because I've heard it so many times. But I listened. When I bowed my eyes and bowed my head and closed my eyes, I paid attention to what was going on. Because I realized that same gospel that is being preached is the same gospel that still applies to my life. That's the wellspring of forgiveness and mercy. But then I also think about this, that forgiveness, an invitation, you be quiet. He looks good in his red suit. He's standing there because he's trying to persuade you to not go out during this time. Because God was forgiving the worst of sinners. And in this time, you might be saved. But there might be somebody sitting right next to you that's not. And we want to give them the opportunity to hear without any distraction, without any interference. You know, nothing makes me more mad than when I'm listening to a good old song on the radio and here comes the interference in. You know, it happens a lot on AM radio, but even on FM radio, depending on where you're at, you know, you get that interference. It's a good song, too. You know what I mean? One of them good old Southern gospel jams, one of them Legacy 5 Gold City bangers, you know what I mean? That's just going on, and I'm in there getting with it, boy. I'm in there having a Holy Ghost party all by myself, or the worst part of it goes into some other station, some weird song, and it's like the mariachi band. Like, what the fuck? Understand all the Spanish. I don't know the Espanol like that. I don't know what it said. Imagine somebody here today trying to get saved. Trying to hear the words of life. And you come in with static so that they can't get saved and get the message. You hear me today. Don't be a forgetful church about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness he's given you. Don't be a foolish church thinking that you don't still need his forgiveness and still need him upon you. Amen. Don't forget that even though you're forgiven, there's somebody else that needs to hear about forgiveness. Amen. Every head bowed, closed. Father God, it is my solemn duty and obligation this morning to preach the gospel of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, there is no greater privilege in heaven or on earth than to preach the word of God, to teach sinners how they can come to repentance and faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we take that opportunity this morning, I pray that all would be still and hear the words of the Bible. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every single person that's ever lived has committed at least one sin. The Bible says that God is of much purer eyes and that he cannot look upon sin, that God is so holy, he's so righteous, he can't even be in the presence of sin, which means because of your one sin, you are eternally separated from God, and the eternal separation place is a place called hell. The good news of the Bible is God did not create or intend for you to go to hell, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that God, in his infinite love and wisdom, sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By recognizing you're a sinner, by simply asking the Lord in faith and repentance, by saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Forgive me of those sins. And by truly in your heart, contrite spirit, saying, I want to do better. I want to live for you. I want to turn from the west and start going east. I want to turn from the south and start going north towards God. You'll be saved. As the music begins to play softly in the background today, would you hear this? The Bible says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever could be you. It has nothing to do with your baptism or church attendance. It has nothing to do with you being a good person or the denomination you're a part of. No, it has everything to do with that blood, the blood of the Lamb. That all the poison of sin that's infected your body can be overcome by a Lamb. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And his name is Jesus Christ. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered of the Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead and buried. But the third day he arose from the grave. And he arose in power. And now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, inviting you even right now to believe in your heart. To confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and that God did raise him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. If you hear like that today, you say, Pastor Bryson, I've made mistakes. I've messed up. There's never been a time and place where I could go to, and I could put a thumbtack right there on that place. That's where it was, where I got saved. I can X mark the spot. Never been a place like that in my life. But today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to repent of my sins. I want to accept that lovely blood of the Lamb. You're here today and you say, that's me. I want you to understand this. I'm going to offer you a prayer to repeat after me in your head and in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. But this prayer, oh, don't be so foolish to believe this prayer can save you. No, only the blood of the Lamb can save you. So if you decide that you're going to say this, it's your decision, and you believe it and you mean it, then God will save you right there in your seat because of your belief and your understanding of repentance. If that's you today and you say, that's what I want, I mean it, and I mean it, pray this in your heart and your mind. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need to be saved. I believe that your Son Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, come into my heart. Save my soul and help me to live for you from this day forward. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everybody's still being so quiet and so still. On my left, your right. My left, your right. Look to your right hand. If your right hand is facing that outer wall, I'm talking to you right now on this side. Say, I prayed that today in faith, believing it truly and wanting to repent, Pastor Bryson. That's me. I'm going to ask you to do one thing right now. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, only my eyes are open. Would you just raise your eyes, lift your head to me, and catch my eye with your eye, that I might be able to pray for you? I'm not going to call your name or come to your seat. Just lifting your eyes to mine, that I might be able to pray for you. So get on your journey with Jesus. Anybody on my left, your right today? That's me. Yep, I see that. Thank you. Anybody else on my left, your right today? That's me, Pastor Bryson. What about my right, your left? Your left arm towards the outer wall. My right, your left. You say, ask me to, Pastor Bryson, I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I prayed that. I believed it for the first time and really got it. Anybody would raise their eyes to me and say, that's me today? Christian, what about you? Would you be so self-aware and humble, meek, to look in your life and say, you know, God, there's been some places where I've been forgetting that it's you. There have been some places in my life where I've been foolish. Maybe you just need to go, you know what, God, I am forgiven. I need to start acting like it. We're going to offer this invitation and appeal for you to come to the altar. I believe in the altar. I believe in its power, not because of the symbolism of it, because I believe not in the altar, but I believe in the God of the altar. The humility that it takes to come and bend the knee to God. I would rather spend my time burying my face on the altar than being buried in my sin. And for those who came today and said, Pastor Bryson, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I prayed that prayer. I'm going to do this right here, right now. I'm going to walk to the front of this pulpit. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you prayed that prayer, you looked at me today and you really meant it. This will be the first sign, a public stand of you saying, you know what? I believe it so strongly. Jesus called everybody he called in the Bible, he called publicly. Then he asked them to go ahead, sin no more, come after me. I'm going to ask you today to be strong, to be brave. Everybody in this church, they're going to love you. They're going to celebrate, rejoice. They're going to give you a standing ovation as the angels in heaven are today. I want you to walk right down this aisle today. Somebody will come with you. Grab their hand. They'll come with you. Walk right up to me, and we're going to show you more from the Bible. You're already saved if you meant that and you prayed today. We're going to show you how to get on your journey with Jesus. Church, let's be a church on fire. Let's do business with the Lord today. Father God, I pray where there's forgiveness needed. I pray where there's forgetfulness, where there's foolishness, that we would get it out of our way. Lord, we can't go forward. We can't keep on moving forward in this wilderness of the world, Lord, until we get some of these things out of the way, until this happens and we repent of it right. Lord, I pray as a church on fire that we would remain on fire, that we would continue to grow in our fire, Lord, for our love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Any of those decisions today, you need to be baptized, join Assurance Baptist Church in membership. Now is the time. Brother Chuck's going to sing You Come. Lord, have your way and will with this time of invitation. Amen.
And join in singing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see.
Come on.
See.
You can do it.
There's
Church
light
on fire.
For a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. And go to a world that is dying. Perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you.
to encourage you. Leave it at the altar of Christ this morning. Don't walk out with any bitterness or lack of forgiveness. If you've been forgetting, come remember. If you've been foolish, come to the one who can give you wise. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God. So we're going to take these next few verses of invitation and appeal. And if you feel led today, you come. Any other decisions on your heart, we want you to come and get that settled. So remain a church on fire. Church say, amen. Well, this morning we're so grateful for all of you being here, and we're excited about what God's doing. You can be seated this morning. Come back tonight at 5 p.m. We'll go through Isaiah. Before I get to that, Brother Carter is going to be giving you the update on his trip to Cuba. And so we want you to come tonight. And he's got video or pictures and things like that for you to see, and all the things that went on down there, and nearly 200 folks saved. And so you'll want to come and see. And then also the church had a special opportunity to help a church plant down there in a big way, and really a small way for us, a minuscule way, honestly, but for them it was huge. And so we wanted you to come and just hear about that and the missions heartbeat of the church. And I'm not very good personally at missions and those things. It's hard for me to get away currently from the church for too long. But I was really glad that one of our guys was able to go and preach the gospel and see amazing things happen there. And we're excited about that. So you come back tonight and be encouraged by that. I also want to remind everyone that this tomorrow, myself and my daughter Savea are going to be flying out. I'm going to be preaching at a church camp that I've preached at the last 3 years in South Carolina. And so I'll actually be gone. Usually I'm back on Sunday, but next Sunday I'm going to be preaching for my mentor down in Savannah, Georgia, so he can come see Birdie. He's got something about his grandbaby back there. So just know that the guys have it all taken care of. They'll be here, but I'm telling you that because I won't be here for a week. So Brother Brandon will be here. Sister Nancy will be here on Monday and Thursday. They got it under control. If you need something, call them. I'll have access to my phone during the day, so if you need something, you can still call me. Just know I'll be out of state for the next week. But pray for us, too. We see a lot of kids saved there at that camp, and a lot of good things have gone on over the last two years, and hoping for another good camp turnout this year. And so Church Bible Baptist Savannah will be there, as well as Florence Baptist Temple in South Carolina. So it's going to be a good time. So if you'd pray for us and pray for those teens there, 6th through 12th grade. And the last thing that I want to mention is that we are so glad this morning our friend Abby has come today visiting with us, and she walked the aisle this morning and accepted Christ as her Savior. Praise the Lord. You know what? It doesn't matter what else we did this week. It doesn't matter what else is going on. That is why we're here. Amen. That is why we preach the gospel. Amen. That is why we, listen, that's why we pay our tithe. That is why we go and we fellowship with each other, so that we have this loving atmosphere, this congregation of people where someone can walk the aisle and we can rejoice as the angels in heaven rejoice today and say that somebody got saved. People say, I hear preachers say, well, nobody ever walks the aisle anymore. Well, you don't have a culture in your church of people walking the aisle then. I'm being honest. People don't go to the altar. You don't have a culture of people going to the altar in your church then. And that's your decision. That's what you want to do. But this church, we want that free place so someone can come freely and hear it from the Word of God, that they can be saved and they can testify. It don't just work at camp. Come on. It don't just work at an evangelism, at a revival. So praise the Lord, Sissy. We are so thankful for you, and we love you, and glad to have you here and for that decision this morning. You make sure you make Miss Abby feel welcome. Thanks to all of our other friends that are here. Miss Shay's here. We've seen Miss Shay back when we were at the school, so it's good to have you here today and to see you guys. And we're so glad to have you all with us in service today. And then also, my friend Will is here with his daughter Annie, so good to have you here, brother. And this morning, we're going to receive our morning offering. I say all that to say, visitors, we're not asking any money from you. We're just returning our tithe to the Lord in obedience and giving an offering as we feel led of God this morning for our church family. And if you did fill out that visitor card, this is a great time for you to put that in the basket so we can connect with you, send you a thank you letter for being here this morning. And otherwise, we are just so grateful for everybody being here and blessed. Tonight at 5 o'clock, kids, second 5 weeks of the kids ministry going on there, so that's awesome. And then again, Brother Carter and his Cuba update, you won't want to miss that for sure. And we'll go through the book of Isaiah chapter 10. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us, Lord, for the wonderful blessing to be able to be here and see someone born again. You know, it's an amazing thing when we say born again. You know, we don't all get to go to a birth room and see a baby. Lord, we see souls born, reborn. We see people born right in front of our eyes. What a blessing it is to behold that the power of the blood of God, of the blood of the Lamb, this blood stain on the cross still prevails over the serpent, over Satan and the devil. God, I'm so grateful to you. You did it. Lord, let us be small part today as we return our tithe to you, an offering that we might see more people saved all over the globe. We pray that you bless the gift and the giver now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, a couple announcements. This Friday, I'm really excited for the Young at Hearts and Marvel Youth game night. This Friday, July 21st, we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs. If you guys could please bring a side or a dessert to share. We're going to play some chair volleyball, some Uno. So we're going to set up some cornhole, some Monopoly maybe. So it's going to be a wonderful time. So make sure you're here. It's from 5 to 8. Next thing is our Young at Hearts, Young at Hearts service. They're doing Sunday, July 30th in the AM service. Invite all your friends 55 and over. The Young at Hearts will be leading, if I can speak, music, choir, and more. So normal July Young at Hearts meeting will be July 27th at noon in the Fellowship Hall. The next thing is Splash Camp. Kids entering 4th through 6th grade, join for a splash camp. There's information located at the welcome table. Camp is $220 per camper. Use code ABC, all caps, $50 for a discount. If you have any questions, see Jeremy Brister. The last thing is Bible Baptist Church West Union Annual Ladies Conference meeting. Adult ladies who are interested are encouraged to attend the informational meeting. The meeting will be Sunday, July 30th, following the morning service in the Fellowship Hall. If you have any questions, please see Chandra.
Please stand and join in singing The Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Let's sing it one more time. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the evening.